In the middle of the trial and tribulation, it's easy to fold. To read about and think about the idea of being made in his image and his likeness is something I think we all aspire to, something we all want to be. And maybe your joyful noise you don't think is melodic, but when he hears the cry of your heart, singing out to him, reaching out to him, being willing to stand in the gap, because he truly is making us into his image and his likeness. It's not changing. I did this one time before. I think I've got it on. Okay. Maybe some issue with the technology. And as is often in life, the things that we plan for and the things that we sometimes lay out to do are fraught with some troubles, right? Everything doesn't always go as planned. Everything doesn't always do what you want it to do. Is it working now? Okay. Isn't that part of what it is to be made into his image and likeness, to be led by his Spirit? To develop a view of the world that is his and not the enemy's. I appreciate the scriptures that Steve went over. And we're going to touch on some of those scriptures here today too. Something that I am always reminded of when I wake up in the morning and I think about, what does my Father have for me to do today? I think about, what is my view of the world? What should my world view be? And so the question that I think we should constantly be asking ourselves is, what is our worldview? How do we view the interactions that we have with family, friends, loved ones, maybe enemies, maybe coworkers that we have difficult times with? Do we look at them and think about them as someone that is made into the image of the eternal? And who have the potential and the destiny of being sons and daughters of the kingdom? Or do we look at them as something that's just kind of maybe in our way today? Because if we're going to think about being servants, and we're going to think about being part of the kingdom, we need to realize that there is a spirit of fear that is looking to swallow us up. There are many examples all throughout Scripture of what these giants did to the hearts and minds of believers and non-believers alike. Show no partiality. These giants were menacing, and they went after anyone and everyone that stood in their path. King David is a great example of one of those valiant young men, one of those men who stood in the gap, one of those men who had a heart for his Creator. They would write songs to him, they would sing praises to him, they would cry out to him for help. And I'm going to tell you today that if we are not developing a scriptural viewpoint of this world, we are going to get swallowed up like so many before. If we are not clinging to our Maker, if we are not developing that close, intimate relationship with Him, then these giants will find their ways into our lives and we will find ourselves bowing down before them. We will find ourselves worshiping the same idols that they set up in years past, and we will find our hearts failing in times of adversity. Romans chapter 8. We're just going to jump right in. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons of Elohim, the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. We're the children of Elohim. And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with our Messiah, Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So Steve touched on some difficult things, right? The servant, the one that comes and does things for you, right? It's easy, like you said, to love that person. But the person that has to come and tell you some things that you may have to suffer for, that may be a little bit different to receive. His image and his likeness. You know, there's so many examples all the way from the beginning to the end of what our Father and what his Son have done for us, the ways that they've made connections in people's lives all throughout time. We have things that even haven't happened yet, prophetic word that we read about in the end times where he draws close to those who draw close to him. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. You know, I was at the Feast of Tabernacles years ago down in Oklahoma, and there was a brother that talked about how you want any concept in the scripture, you want to understand anything, go back to the beginning. Take you through any concept, any thought, any idea. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. Elohim blessed them. Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. He wanted mankind to be so in tune with relationship with him that they would be the proper type of servant leaders to everything that he had created for them, to sustain them, to interact with. I think my wife was telling me here just in the last few weeks, just an example like for animals, okay? How many of you have known animals that have had animals? Anybody here had animals? Dogs, cats? Okay? How many of you who have these animals, when you're feeling low or when you're struggling, these animals instinctively come to you to comfort you, right? We have, we've had several cats, and we've had a dog. And I remember these animals, when I wasn't feeling good or when my wife wasn't feeling good, they'll come and they'll nuzzle right up to you. The cat will crawl right on my wife's chest and start purring and just rubbing on her. Or the dog would just lay by her side and comfort her. So he created all of the things that we see around us to be in perfect harmony, to have a relationship, a symbiotic relationship. And that's what he wants with us. He wants this perfect relationship, this relationship that's built on truth, this relationship that's built on love. And he wants us to be the defenders of that relationship. Not someone who would see it come in and be destroyed. We'll skip down to verse 21 through 25. And the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, so that is this idea or this concept in Hebrew of the one that would be, and the one that was, and the one that is. This ever-present, I'm not going anywhere, I take care of you, I'm looking out for you. That's the Lord. He's always interested in your well-being. He's always interested in your character development. And he's interested in you building a relationship with him so that you can build relationships with others that will last for eternity. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, so he took part of his side, closed up the flesh and instead thereof, and the rib which Jehovah, the Lord God, had taken from man, he made a woman. So Adam's asleep. And the first relationship that Eve has is not with her husband, but with her King and Savior. Her first introduction into life is in front of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord. It says that he brought her unto the man. You ever thought about that? He brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Chava, because she was taken out of man. She wasn't created out of the dust of the ground. She was made from him. Therefore, because she was made from him, shall a man leave his father and his mother, verse 24, and shall cleave unto his wife. Draw close. And they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You know, we read in the New Testament that the mystery of a husband and wife is our Messiah and this assembly, the body. Right? That's the mystery of this relationship. The relationship that you see being developed right from the beginning of a man and a woman is supposed to be the relationship that we are developing here within the body and our Savior. That word one in the Hebrew is, try to pronounce it, echad. You gotta eat a little if you're gonna do some Hebrew. It's oneness and strength derived from twisting and binding together. We have an enemy out there that's looking to unbind us, that's looking to separate us, to divide us through tactics of fear. But we have a Father that wants us to be one. We have a Son that wants us to be one. And the Spirit that is between them, our Father's Spirit, is that binding Spirit, so that we are intertwined, woven together. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Messiah Yeshua. And when we have a relationship with him, then that makes us free from the law of sin and death. What would divide us? What would destroy us? I'll read that again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. That echad, that oneness. I think many of us are familiar with this. So we're talking about shepherds, right? Pastors and elders. People that are supposed to be fulfilling a role of pointing others upward, right? Not to whoever the pastor or the elder might be. That's not the elder or pastor's job. Their job is to point up. So our chief shepherd, like Steve was talking about, Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He wants to be our yoke fellow. He wants to walk the path with us. He wants to be in our lives. He wants us to learn the way that leads to life eternal. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a big question that comes up a lot. Maybe you ask yourself this on a regular basis. What's my role? What's my job? How do I fit in? Right? We have this uncanny knack of looking at other people and seeing their gifts and their talents, and somehow we feel deficient. Somehow we feel lacking. What's my role? So we're going to read a couple of the Psalms of David. Because I think maybe David felt some of these similar feelings. What's my role? What's my job? To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O eternal, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him? See, I think David went through these times where he felt small, where he maybe felt insignificant. We have the advantage of reading his life and being able to bit by bit, sound bite, dissect it, right? We get to look at his words and his thoughts and his behaviors and his actions, and we can say, this is who David was. But I think sometimes we can miss, in the reading of these things, some of the struggles that David had. David got back up. I think that's one of the reasons that our Father says that he was a man after his own heart. David stumbled and fell, but David got back up. For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Have you ever thought about that in your own life? He uses you, even though you can't do all things. He's called you out of the world, and he has shown his way of life to you, and he is growing you in grace and knowledge, and he sees the gifts that you have, and he's saying, here is my son, here is my daughter that I am perfecting. I am making them into my image and likeness. Not because of everything that they have, but because of all that he is. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the pass of the seas, O eternal our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. When you think about the body as a whole, and you're looking at the brothers and sisters that you're sitting next to, or maybe other congregations that you visit, do you find yourself trying to find things in them to lift up and build up? Are you, you know, we're all struggling maybe at times of what's my role in the kingdom? What's my role in the family? But do we take the time to invest in our brothers and sisters to try to show them and help them, to encourage them, to lift them up, to build them up? Maybe to take a little bit of time out of our lives to not worry about what our role is, and maybe to try to help others find what their role is. And maybe you're already doing that, and if you are, I would encourage you to continue that. Very important. Because just like Moses reminds us in Psalms 90, verse 12, teach me to number my days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Earlier in the psalmist says we have 70 years, and if by chance we get 80 years, our boast is only sorrow because we have the aches and the pains of life. Loved ones that we have known and built our lives with have passed away. Maybe some of us have lost children. Cousins, aunts, uncles, mothers, brothers, sisters. People that we look to for guidance and for leadership. And so we have to be the ones that are willing to stand up and take those next steps. Maybe step out a little bit of our comfort zone and do things that maybe are not things that we may necessarily think that we're capable of. Because it's not I can do all things through me who strengthens me, is it? Is that what the scripture says? I can do all things through he who strengthens me, my Messiah. Again, what is my role? It's a question I've asked myself for years. What's my role? What are the gifts that I have? I've had a lot of, maybe as some of you, have had a lot of hang-ups and hiccups in my life. Maybe a lot of setbacks, things that I've tried, maybe didn't work out so well, ways I've tried to serve or things I've tried to do. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Elohim. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. I think I've seen in these recent years the body really start to come together. Right, I've seen these small groups spring up out of the world, out of various churches, and I've seen them with a hunger for the Father and his way of life, a hunger to serve one another, a hunger to be molded and shaped into his image. I think it's really important that we encourage those things. You know, when I first started in carpentry, I wasn't very good at all. Hit my thumb a lot, dented some material, ruined some stuff, tried my father's patience quite a bit. Right? Wasn't what you would consider a good carpenter. But you have to start somewhere. Right? So my dad started me in the closet where nobody could see. But you know what? When he took me back to the closet to show me the work, he says, I want your best work here. Where no one's going to see and where nobody cares. I want you to do your best here, because if you can do your best here, where no one sees you, where no one cares, it doesn't matter, because it really doesn't. They come into the closet, they're after the clothes, they're not looking to come around the door and look over in the corner at your work. But your Father in heaven sees and he cares. And the scripture that he quoted to me all the time, whatsoever your hand finds to do, Ecclesiastes 9:10, do it with all of your might, for there is no work, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, nor device in the grave where you go. He would say, we do all things unto the Lord. We give everything our best effort. And it doesn't matter who sees or who's looking, because we're being made into him as his image and his likeness. We are his image bearers. Right? If I'm going to take on the name of my king, I want to represent him well. And so would my king have me lay down and not get back up? No. Because that's going to steal someone else's hope. So if you fall, get back up. If you see somebody fall, don't go over and kick them. Help them up. Right? There's time for correction later for you and for them. You know, when I think about the roles of the body, right? The scripture doesn't say that only this member of the body or that member of the body is important. He says these members, all the members have different roles. And he says when the body is fitly joined together, when the body is one, when they are chad, when they are intertwined, then the body supplies what the body needs, because the Father is working through all the gifts that all of you have to edify, to encourage, to correct, to exhort, to uplift. You all have the scripture which from childhood is able to make you wise unto salvation. It's really easy to tear someone down. It's easy. You don't have to look hard. It doesn't take hardly any effort to find a flaw in another human being. Genesis 4, 6 through 9. Remember I told you this brother that we met at the feast said, you want to know? We'll take it all the way back to the beginning. The Eternal, the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth and why is your countenance fallen? Why is it fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, then sin lies at the door, and unto you these shall be his desires. So sin's desire is for you. But you should rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Jehovah said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, Steve talked about the church background that his family, seven generations, right? And how there's been all of these splits and all of these divisions. Paul talks about that too, doesn't he, in the letter to Corinth? There's schisms in the body, and in part, I believe. I get it. He's looking for the sons and the daughters of the kingdom to stand in the gap, to be like Moses. What did Moses do? Yah wanted to kill the nation, right? I'm going to start over with you, Moses. So Moses had to plead on behalf of the people, all the while that the people wanted to get rid of him. And so he goes back and he pleads with the people. He's pleading back and forth. So Yah wants to destroy them, they want to leave, and he's pleading back and forth. Please don't destroy him. Please love him and worship him. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be engaged and involved with your life. Don't let the kingdoms of the world say that you let him out here into the wilderness to destroy them. Just listen, he wants to have a relationship with you. Give the people a chance. I would petition you today that that is the heart that he is developing in each and every one of us. Not to look for kicking or knocking our brother or sister out of the way, or maybe like these days, it's very difficult not to go out and have difficulty going out into public with all of the restrictions, with part of the countenance being held and covered. Right? Yah spoke to people face to face, his friends. When he didn't want anything to do with you, he would turn his back to you. It's a big part of the countenance here. Communication, face to face, to be able to reach out and touch and hold, to hold close, right? Cleave, that's what the word means, to hold close. And we have a world very much right now that is telling you, be apart. Cover your countenance. Are we willing to stand in the gap? To maybe have compassion on somebody that's shaking in their boots and scared to death because they're afraid that they're going to go out and something that you may have that you don't even know is going to destroy their entire family. And they got to go out and get food and they got to get work and they got bills to pay and they got frustrations and they got things going on. What is your role? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you only your brother's keeper if they're a Sabbath keeper? A feast keeper? Maybe they're on your calendar. Maybe they're not. Well, that person's not on my calendar. That's not my brother. I don't have to worry about them. I'll let Yah deal with them. They'll get it one day. All those people don't get clean. Not my problem. Well, what do we do with Brother Paul? Paul goes up to the Areopagus, and he doesn't take his big battle axe and start whacking idols. What does he do? He sees them and he says, I want to see some of these people in the kingdom. Who can I reach? How can I reach? How can I talk to them? I see that you're a very religious people. You're a zealous people. You are so zealous. You got all these idols everywhere. You even have this idol over here to the unknown God. Hey, turns out I'm here to talk to you about the God that created heaven and earth. Do we look for opportunities and ways to reach into people's lives? Because that's part of our role. Everyone in this room, you are an ambassador for the kingdom that is and was and is coming. A lot of people may not ever read this book. They may never pick up these pages and turn them and meditate on them and think on them. Think how it could change their heart, change their life, change their family. You may be the only Bible anyone ever reads. How's your version going to read? The NIV, the HIJKLMNOP, I mean, there's all these acronyms we go by, right? Because we don't want to long speak, we want to short speak, right? We want to text a brief and kind of get after it and get on with our life, right? Until I'm texting so much stuff I can't keep track and I'm still busy. Slow down. Take some time. Who knows if the seed that you plant in someone else's life may change them long after you're gone and you don't get to see the result. You don't get to glean the harvest and feel the reward. Does it matter? Are you doing it for you or are you doing it for your kingdom? What's your job? What's your role? What's my role? Do we want to be like Messiah? He says, you're going to have to take up your cross and you're going to have to follow after me. You're going to go through some, like Steve talked about, you're going to go through some accusations. People are going to falsely accuse you and you're going to have to work on that. Because that's tough. I can speak firsthand. I've had people falsely accuse me. It hurts. It's hard. And they will. And if you haven't experienced it, Aaron, which I think you have, you will. You've got to be willing to stand in the gap. And it's hard. Times this year, I didn't feel like getting back up. How many of you didn't feel like getting back up at times? Have you gone through trials and tribulations? Maybe had things happen or people say, I was like, you know what? Just like Job's wife. Curse God and die. Let's just get it over with. Have you had to wrestle those thoughts out of your head? Well, if you haven't, I have. Because those thoughts, what did it say? What did Yah say to Cain? Sin's desire is for you. It wants to destroy you, to swallow you up whole. But you should have dominion over it. You should have rule over it. Why? Because the king has conquered death, has conquered the enemy. You're victors already. You just have to cleave and cling to it. James chapter 5, 13 through 20. Is any among you afflicted? Let them pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jehovah. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. How many of you are willing to intimately share your lives and maybe share some of the struggles with some of the people in the body? Know what it's talking about here? Hey, brother, sister, okay, whichever you may be. Maybe sisters going to sisters, brothers going to brothers. I got this thing I'm really struggling with. I need your help. I'm really struggling. Hey, let's sing together. Let's jump up and down and be excited together. You know, I've seen on televisions, basketball games, football games, everybody's excited. Everybody's at the dance, and they're dancing, and they're happy. And we come into church, and sometimes what do we get this? We get this. Praise the Lord. Sing praises to God. Praise you, God. And I'm not saying that we necessarily have to have an exciting emotional experience every time. Sometimes the songs and the hymns are somber, and they reach deep down inside, and they touch parts of your body to cause you, in your heart and in your mind, to reflect, right? It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. But there are times to get excited. David came out singing and dancing. He was joyful before the throne. Miriam came out with timbrels. We had dancers, musicians, and singers that was part of temple worship. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, and if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from their error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's nothing you can do on your own. If you did that on your own, you'd only be boasting yourself and you're going to fall flat on your face anyways. But the Father is using each and every one of you to be this. This is what we're reading about here. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, isn't that part of the admonishment that Paul's giving to the church in Corinth? Isn't there one of you here that is able to judge what's going on? This guy is having an affair with his stepmom, and you guys are allowing this. You're allowing things in the body that ought not be, and you're separating over things that you shouldn't. Do we really love one another? I think these are the hard things that we're being called to. How easily are we separating? What's my role? Second Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of Elohim, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, by Yeshua our Messiah. And he has given unto us, that's everybody in this room, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he's given you the ministry and the word, so that you can be in season and out of season, bearing fruit, because he's always bearing fruit. And when we submit to him, even when we don't feel like it, we're going to bear fruit for the kingdom. Now then, we are ambassadors for my Messiah, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Messiah's stead, be you reconciled unto Elohim. I got to go out. Brother Kurt here from up north came down and is helping us with some work out to my father-in-law's place, and we were out getting some materials, right? And I struggle with, okay, how can I reach and connect with people, you know, that I don't know, right? So we're standing at the checkout, and Kurt looks at this woman, and he says, how you doing today? She says, I'm doing good. Can I ask you a personal question? Yeah. Are you a Christian? Well, yes, I am. He didn't ask her if she was a Sabbath keeper, if she was a holy day keeper, if she ate clean, if she ate unclean. He asked her if she believed in the Messiah. Are you a Christos, a believer in Christ? Are you a Christian? She said yes. It opened a dialogue. Isn't that kind of the same thing that Paul did with people that he didn't know? Came in. How can I make contact? How can I be an ambassador for the kingdom here, now, today? How can I make a difference in this person's life? I have no idea what's going on in their home life. Because I'm going to tell you that some of the scriptures that we're going to go through here in just a little bit, you're going to see that when an elder is appointed, it's not like, hey, I see this person over here and I think they might be good at this job. I think we're going to appoint them over here. No, what we're going to see is you have people that are already walking it out, not looking for the position, not asking to be placed somewhere. They're looking to serve in whatever way that the Father would have them serve. Selflessly. They're not letting their right hand know what their left hand is doing. It's not about pats on the back and accolades. It's service from a pure heart because you want to see the furthering of the kingdom, because you want to see more souls in the kingdom, and that's the heart of the Father. Now, it's still the choice of the individual. That woman there at the checkout, she didn't have to respond the way that she did, right? But she did. But if she hadn't, would that stop us the next time from trying to find a way to be the Scriptures living before someone else's eyes? What's my role? You know, you don't have to be someone that gives a sermon. You don't have to be someone that organizes a congregation. You don't have to be someone that cooks great things. You don't have to be someone that's a great musician. You don't have to be somebody that's a great writer. You don't, whatever these things that you have as barriers in front of you, holding you back, you don't have to be those things. You just have to be an ambassador for the kingdom. You just have to show the love of Messiah into people's lives and show that they matter. And that you realize that the world wants to swallow them up just like it wants to swallow you up. Because the enemy doesn't care that any of us live. We're all made in the image of Elohim. That's what we read at the beginning, right? Do we believe those words? Or are we picking and choosing who we want in the kingdom based on where they are? Well, I tell you, if that's our criteria, we're in bad shape. Because I don't think anybody is going to be here in the kingdom if we're going to base it on where we were. Anybody here? Anybody here that's had the opportunity? Anybody can raise their hand and say, I've been perfect my whole life. Sorry I got to be drug along with you people. I dare say no one in this room feels that way. And if you do, we can talk after. What's my role? He gave some. It's underlined. I have it bolded. That's not how it is in the text. I have that bolded. He gave some. I think one of the things that Steve talked about, I feel the same way, right? No man's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to submit to anybody. I'm my own island. Really? He. Who's he? Bob, Sarah, Jane, Jennifer. Come up with a name. No. That's your Father. That's the Creator of heaven and earth. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Are we jealous of the roles that the Father has given others? Do we take the one talent that he's given us and say, well, I don't have two talents, I don't have five talents. I know you can do what you want, where you want, how you want. I want to bury mine over here. I hope you drag this sinner into the kingdom. He's made you more than conquerors through Messiah. You're a child of the Most High. You're a child of the King. You don't have to get drug into the kingdom. Messiah dwells richly in you, and he's looking to perfect your heart and your mind over and over. And that's what it says here, verse 12. For, why did he give these? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah. Till we all come, all of us. The gifts that you have been given are to add to the body till we all come. Anybody left out there? Huh? Can you find yourself outside of this word? Till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Messiah, that we, the body, henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love. I think that's pretty key right there. Speak the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things which is the head, even our Messiah, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, entwined, echad, one. One in him, right? Not unified just for some selfish ambition or selfish purpose. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Don't play down the fact that you have a love for the kingdom. That's huge. Vast majority of the world doesn't have that. We need more people like you out there. What does the scripture say? The fields are white for the harvest, and the laborers are few. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to admonish you and encourage you, because maybe other people out there that you run into contact with in other congregations and other areas, maybe they don't have this same fervor, the same desire. He is appointed. At this time, I would like to ask Aaron and Lori Baker to come up to the front. You're Neil? Okay. I'm going to call some of the elders here. Steve Sandy, Chris DeWeese, Gary Johnson, Jerry Hubbard, Tom Bowen, Bain. Sorry, Tom. I've been asked to explain what the ordination symbolizes. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go through a few scriptures. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Job. Job is the oldest book in the scripture written. At least that's what I've read. Most everywhere that I read, would everybody agree? Job is the oldest book. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this is what our father has to say about Job. So it doesn't matter what his friends say, it doesn't matter what his wife says, it doesn't matter what pastors have said or messages you've heard. This is what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says about Job. That man was perfect, upright, one that feared Elohim, and he eschewed evil. That means he hated evil. Like, he's going to defend with all he has against evil. We're going to go through and read a little bit here in Exodus. Steve talked about this, right? Reuel, Jethro. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating covetousness. Place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons. In the morning when you rise up, in the afternoon when you go by the walk by the way, in the evening when you lie down, and you're in all of your thoughts and in all of your first. Aaron, the first thing, Todd, when you wake up in the morning. I was struggling with tithing. Didn't make sense. Old Testament to New Testament, couldn't put it together. He says, Todd, do you give him the first of your breath in the morning? Is the whole earth his or not? Do you give him the first of your first fruits? Is it his or isn't it his? Because I testify to you today that he'll take the 90% that's left and do more than the 100% could ever do. You just have to do your part, brother. Are you willing to give him all of you? The first of you, the best of you. You're rested when you wake up in the morning. Is he the first thing on your mind? And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge. And so shall it be easier for yourself. Do we bear one another's burdens? What's your role? Steve talked about that. Are we bearing one another's burdens? If you shall do this thing, and Elohim commands thee so, then you shall be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. When we bear one another's burdens, when we are strengthened by one another, that's his spirit that's doing the work. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 3. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of Elohim and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report. Are we starting to see a pattern here? These were people that were already walking these things out. Honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. whom we may appoint over this business. Stephen's introduced shortly after this. We all know through Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8, this great testimony that we have of Stephen, and they stoned him to death for it. Stephen was willing to serve tables, and he was full of Yah's Spirit. Titus chapter 1, 5 through 11. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed you. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. As the steward of the eternal, not semi-skilled, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality. Anybody that you know, Aaron and Lori Baker, you know that they are lovers of hospitality. And Aaron will enjoy a glass of scotch or a glass of wine with you, but he is not filthy, he is not a drunkard, and he is in moderation in all things. A lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. You know, one of the things that Aaron talks about a lot is he talks about we're sheep and we need rams. We need rams to watch out for the sheep. And I've watched him talk to there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. The issues were with those in the body. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. We're wrapping up here. The role of an elder. For even hereunto, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25, you were called because the Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins and in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed, for you were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Now you just remember we just read, the scripture likened the elder and the bishop together. Aren't we supposed to be in Christ's image, our Messiah? Those who are called into being like him, to be a shepherd, to be looking out for the things of others. He has appointed. Acts chapter 14, 21 through 23, we're coming to a close here. When they had preached the good news to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of Elohim. That means we, through much looking out for one another, must guard and protect and serve each other. I will add, that's throughout the scripture. And when they had ordained them elders in every assembly and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the master on whom they believed. I appreciated what Steve said. You've been a servant. Are you ready to be a leader? Are you ready to step into that role? I believe you are. It's a heavy burden without him, but with him, together, the two of you, it's light. And you can be a tremendous example to this body of believers and everyone, everywhere that you come into contact with. Because you represent the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of God. This word ordained is only two places in the scripture. We just read the one. The other one is written of Titus, who we just read from. Where Titus was chosen. He was appointed to travel with them. It was an appointment. Because Titus already had a heart. Aaron and Lori Baker have hearts to serve. We're going to touch here again on what Steve already read. We're going to read a little further. The elders which are among you I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of the Messiah and also a partaker of the honor. Right? Steve talked about that. That should be revealed. Feed the flock of Elohim, which is among you. Feed the flock of God. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is domineering over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of honor that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, be submissive. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another. We're all supposed to be in submission one to another, esteeming each other better. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Elohim, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal honor by the Messiah Yeshua, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the honor and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Ask the pastors to come join around Aaron and Lori. We'll lay hands on them. And if there's any in the body that want to come forward and join with us here to lay hands on Aaron, please come forward.
I wanted to say just a couple words. I'm very thankful for everybody that came out today, for all of your love and support previously and going forward. I also wanted to say something about what's happening right here, that when an individual serves God and the brethren, it's not a service just for one congregation. You know, I look at Steve and Chris and Todd and some of the others. They don't just serve one congregation. They serve the body as a whole. And so today we're represented here by elders from at least five different congregations, a broader spectrum of the body. And I think one of the reasons that we should do it this way is because going forward, an elder should be held accountable. And it's very easy for a very small congregation to develop friendships and bonds. When someone starts to slip, you really don't want to call them out because you love them so much. And if I ever start to fail, you're here today as witnesses. You gentlemen that are surrounding me and Lori are here not just as witnesses, but protectors as rams of the flock, and to hold me and Lori accountable in all these things. So I appreciate that. But I do ask that any of you that would like to come forward, these gentlemen are going to put their hands on us, but we ask any of you that want to come forward also and put your hands on them, because now what we're about to do is to ask God to give us an extra dose of his Holy Spirit, of wisdom, discernment, of love, courage, strength. Lori and I are going to need that, but also these other men need that. So if you want to come up, please come up and place your hands on them as well.
Our Father, great God, we thank you so much for this wonderful blessing. We thank you for the sacrifice of Yeshua, the Messiah, our Passover lamb. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for opening the doors to us. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father, we thank you for leaving us with this church. your bride that you are coming back for. We thank you for leaving us with a structure, with your government on earth, with your leadership. We pray that you would ask us and allow us to humble ourselves and follow you, everyone in this congregation. So when we hear your voice, we listen to you. Father, I pray for the leadership. I pray for the leadership to get a special blessing, Father. I pray that you would take this sinful flesh of sinful man, our sinful stony hearts, and help us to yield to your voice so that we hear you above the noise and the madness that's going on in this world today. That before we affiliate ourselves with anything, any movement, any government, that we affiliate ourselves with you. Because you died for us. You sent your son to die for each and every one of us, Father. And we claim that blood on Passover, but we claim it every day. So, Father, we place Lori and Aaron under that blood covering, Father, that protects them. We know that blood helps anything just to pass over them and keep them safe. So we ask you for safety. We ask you for protection. We pray that you would bless him and his household so that he can be a blessing to your body. We pray that you'd help us to show them love, honor, respect, and to be an heir when they need it, and to minister unto them as they serve us. So we thank you for this, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this office, and we thank you for leaving shepherds here, because it's an expression of your love, of how much you care about us, Father. And we thank you for that love, because we see in Ezekiel how you mourn for your people when they were lost. And you sent your son because we're lost, and we can't do anything without you. So we pray for Aaron and Lori that they continue to get strength from you to serve this body and strengthen it. We pray for your protection, Father, and we thank you for this. We thank you for this in the name of our high priest and king.
Abba, the enemy looks to break apart the marriage covenant. He started with the first man and woman, and he is eager to see that continue. So, Father, we ask for a deepening love between Aaron and Lori, that they look to serve each other and look out for one another in ways that they have never seen or been aware of before, that you give them an extra portion of your spirit, Father, to be that example that is so needed in this broken world. Father, a marriage, a covenant between two that is the example of your covenant, Father, that you want to have with us, that you want your body unified together. So, Father, just strengthen them. Give them words of encouragement. And, Father, when they have to correct each other, help them to correct one another in love, that they are submissive one to another as they are to you. And, Father, that the words of their mouths may always edify and build up their household, that you give them wisdom and in teaching. They're continuing to teach their adult children, Father, because that role doesn't start and stop only when they are children, but it starts and continues on into adulthood till they draw their last breath. So, Father, give them that joy that surpasses understanding, that joy, that same joy that our Messiah had, Father, for your kingdom, for your way. Build that up more and more as each day goes by, that others can't help but be affected by it and have their lives transformed as they already have, Father, with what you have already done. We look forward to all that you will continue to do through their lives, that this extra portion of your spirit, Father, that you are pouring out on them, that they can serve in a greater capacity, and, Father, that they're able to lead in ways that encourage other people to stand up and step in those gaps, that encourage others, Father, to see all the things that you have already set out for them, Father, that they would encourage them into those things. Children, adults, the elderly, the sick, the maimed. Father, that they all seek you, that there is never any praise that stops at the mouth of Aaron and Lori Baker, but that praise, Father, always goes up to you where it belongs and where it is deserved. And we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity to come together as a body of believers, as a family unified in you. And we look forward, Father, to the things that you will continue to do in their lives.
Yahweh, this is such a wonderful day. This is such a wonderful event. From the first time I met this family, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and I met this congregation, we went back to our home congregation and said, why don't we have that? Why don't we have that much love? Church of God Fellowship has represented you and your son so well these years. That's so inspirational and so much love. And to witness the Bakers, and I have looked up to Aaron, and he's been my mentor for a very long time. When I watched his children at a pool just a few miles away here, just spontaneously get up and say, oh, nope, we have to get back to the hall. It's time for practice. That to have raised these men to be servants is such an incredible testimony of Lori and Aaron Baker. And we are so honored today to be witnessing this ordination, to be witnessing the fact that this group of varying congregations have come together to recognize what you have done, that we aren't doing this. We're recognizing that you have made this family the leaders that they are. And we thank you so much for them. And we are so happy to see this body come together in unity to recognize your Holy Spirit working. And we thank you for this. And we just bless you to the ends of the earth in the name of your Son, Yeshua.
Our eternal Father in heaven, we come before you today, Father. We're so grateful for your participation in this ordainment today. We're thankful, Father, for the calling of our brother Aaron into the ministry of your church. We know, Father, that you have seen his humbleness just as we have seen that just as he cares for his family and loves them, that he cares and loves for this church also. So we ask, Father, today that you would be an actual participant, that you would reach down, Father, that you would set your spirit upon him. Father, we ask that you would give him the strength and the passion for this endeavor. We ask, Father, that you would give him wisdom to make the decisions that he will be faced with. And Father, we ask that you would use him beyond all of our expectations. And we ask this in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear Father, great and almighty God, we come before you this day on your Sabbath, celebrating that you have made a new shepherd that was much needed in this congregation, and that you have been brought before us many congregations to also witness before you. You've heard the testimonies. A man that has been faithful to his wife, a man that has brought up his children in the admonition of the Lord, a man that has been vigilant to the family, to the church, to the congregation, and even those outside. He's a man that has a great heart. You understand, you know his heart, Father. And we just ask a blessing now on the ministry that he is about to partake in, that you give him the wisdom, the understanding, the love that is needed to teach all of us. Because Aaron has been doing this all the time. And so we pray for this new shepherd here. We ask for a blessing on him for this ordination, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for what Mr. and Mrs. Byron Baker created, a son that learned to love your word, following the example of his father and his mother. I thank you so much for them. I thank you for the gifts and talents that are obvious upon Aaron today. And may they take those gifts and talents into the ministry and the care of the church. We're so happy that we could have someone we can depend on. He rests on you. Give you more of your spirit to care and take care in the ordination that we now present to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, everyone, you can go back to your seats, but before we go, I want to ask, first of all, Aaron, before you leave, we've got a little presentation. So, and Gary, when you do the closing prayer, as again, Aaron's always thinking, and it slipped my mind, but Evie Gentile was sick. So if you would say something at the closing prayer for Mrs. Gentile, Evie. And, you know, want the blessing of the food and everything. So at this time, we're going to have a presentation. Sarah's going to read, and Walt has got a little something here for.
Yeah, Pastor Baker, with love from all your brothers and sisters, we'd like to present you with this Bible and also with your certificate. I'm going to have Sarah read it.
This is a certificate of ordination. It says, this is to certify that Aaron Baker has shown the personal dedication and has met the spiritual qualifications mentioned in Acts 6, 1 through 6, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And he is appointed to the position of pastor on this day of September 5th, 2020, and is licensed to exercise his God-given talents in the ministry of the Church of God Fellowship. Appointed to the ministry by Jerry Hubbard, Senior Pastor, Church of God Flint Fellowship, Gary Johnson, Senior Pastor, Church of God Intercontinental, Thomas Baim, Pastor, Church of God Flint Fellowship, Todd Palmer, Pastor, Family Fellowship, Steve Sandy, Pastor of Church of God International, and Chris Deweese, Pastor, The Word and Way. In the nomination committee was Walt Brischka, Mike Desmet, and Richard Haymauer.